each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Okay, I got to turn the radio on.
It's just the wind. It blew Tony in.
Every guy come in, I'm here on time early, and I didn't even turn the radio on. So
it happens.
Because Christina distracted me.
I'm sorry.
Conversation.
It's my fault. Does. I take full responsibility.
Because we're getting ready for Corpus.
That line's familiar.
We're getting ready for Corpus Christi, and they're gonna be singing,
all
and
right.
We're trying to coordinate all that, and because we're doing. It's actually not trilingual, but it's going to be...
Quadruple.
How would you say
quadruple?
That?
Quadruple? I don't know how to say
quadruple?
It.
Quadruple?
Quadlingual?
Quadlingual?
There you go, Tony.
Quadlingual.
Is that... Quadlingual. I'm not really 100% on that.
No, I think what I plan to do is I've got everything. I was working on this all yesterday, and we've just been inundated with so many deaths. So I think by the end of this week, we will have had five... funerals.
Wow, it's been a marathon.
It really has.
Just nonstop.
And young ones.
Ah, that's not good.
Yeah, really, really young. Like 21,
ooh.
31,
ooh.
55.
Mm-hmm.
55 is young.
Yeah.
That's young.
Yes.
So in the midst of all, and we had the kindergarten graduation yesterday, which was really, really, first time we've had it in the church, and they all had caps and gowns.
And we're talking about kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
How do you graduate?
Oh, it was kindergarten?
Well,
kindergarten, that's right.
Did you graduate from kindergarten?
I did.
You guys,
I never
did you?
Went.
I did, yes.
You didn't go to kindergarten?
I went right to first grade. They kicked me out of kindergarten.
They kicked you out?
No, I just never went.
You didn't have to go in those days? Do you have to? Is that a requirement? Do you have to go to kindergarten?
I don't know.
I always thought
you did,
but you didn't, Tony?
No, I didn't.
Wow, you passed. Just
I think I passed.
Directly
they
to
said I was too smart for kindergarten.
Oh, really? I'm sure they did.
I wouldn't sleep. Thus my problems now.
you had the nuns.
Yeah.
I remember the first day my father took me to kindergarten. He took me, actually. I remember walking
See,
in.
You wouldn't go either. You didn't want to go, did you?
No, in fact, I'll tell you, a little confession here, but it's funny how, in the mind of a child, so I had missed a day of school because I was sick, and so my father wrote the letter to the teacher. In those days, I don't know if you do it now, but this is why he wasn't in school and that. And my father read it, but using a different tone of voice. It kind of made it like it sounded strange to me. No, funny or bad, or I don't remember. It just was, I imagine the teacher reading it in the same way my father read it to me.
Oh.
And so I was afraid to take it to the school, and so I skipped out that whole day. I spent the whole day walking. We were in Colorado Springs, and I remember staying in the alleys. And I skipped out the whole day because I didn't want the teacher to read this letter.
Where was he? We caught him in an alley.
It's crazy.
What was he doing?
Huh? But I mean, skipped out of school. But it was, it's funny how with children because again, it's I just don't remember what it was about the tone of the letter, the way he read it.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me not want to give the letter to the teacher. And so I...
So did you have to have a second letter because you took that day off?
No, because I... No, in fact, I didn't because nobody knew that I skipped out.
Oh.
And the teachers... I don't recall that anybody checked up on me. Hmm. I remember going back to school the next day. I didn't... I don't remember.
So they never asked for the letter or nothing like that?
No.
You just never gave it to them?
No. No.
Wow.
So.
No, you still remember. Do you still have the letter, Father?
No, I don't.
I'm just joking.
But you know what? You know what was what's interesting? So I remember that day going to, my father took me to the kindergarten, to kindergarten. And this is, going back many years, many decades ago. And when I was a young priest, I wanted to go back to Colorado because we were Air Force, and so we moved around we lived here and there and everywhere. And I was born in Panama, the country of Panama, but my family lives in Panama City, Florida. People get confused when I say that, but I was actually born in Panama, in the country outside the United States. So I'm a Latino, right?
You are.
That makes me a Latino.
You are.
So I am,
yes.
Official.
I am a Latino. That's how I identify. So just so you know, I identify as a Latino Panamanian.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, no, just being funny. But the, what was the point that I was going to make?
Because you guys moved around.
Yeah, but what was it?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Even though you were Latino.
Help me fit.
They might look at you and think you're from Jalisco.
Jalisco.
You were hanging out in the alleys.
Hanging out in the alley.
Skipped out of school.
I forgot what I was going to say or where I was going to go with this, but that's okay.
It's just the mind. There's so much.
There's so much
going on.
I think of that. Next, multitasking and all that. But anyway, I do remember. So as a young, yes, I have to go back. So as a young priest, I wanted to go back to Colorado,
mm-hmm.
where we lived, because I have really fond memories. I was only there for kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. And after second grade, we moved to another Air Force base. So I wanted to always go back there. And I went with a friend who was in the seminary with me, and we took the trip out there. And then the house where we lived was gone. But I made the walk through those alleys and through the, I made the neighborhood, remember, and went to the school. And it was summertime, actually, but walked into the kindergarten room was actually open, and it hadn't changed at all.
Wow.
And it even smelled the same way. I remember this.
Wow.
I could smell the glue. You know that glue that we used to use in kindergarten?
The white one? The Elmer's glue?
When we used to eat? You didn't eat the glue?
I think you ate it? I think you're...
No.
We used to put it on our hands and let it dry.
The skin.
Looked like skin.
Then we ate it.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
No, I don't think you ate it, but it had a nice smell to it, But the room was exactly the same.
The same.
And it was called, the name of the school was Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a Catholic school, but it was named after the some Queen Mary.
Huh. Queen Mary.
Of England or something, I don't know. But it was like just going back in time. Even the color of the walls were the same.
Wow.
It was kind of like of a pale green, and... But I remember the scent, the smell. That glue. So
I'm kind of making fun of you about being in the alley, but as I think about it, I'm like that too. I grew up, I remember the alley. I would always go to the alleys. I guess as a kid, we always played in the alleys. We did, and that wasn't a thing. I wonder if that's just for here, or do other people have
it? I don't know.
Same?
Now that you say that, I remember my father telling me this too when he was a kid here in Chicago, in Humboldt Park, that his mother would have him go buy something from somewhere, some kind of food or whatever it was, but he was kind of embarrassed, to be seen with his food or whatever. I don't know. Don't remember the story, but he said he would go through the alley so nobody would see him.
I think the alleys were shortcuts for us.
Yeah, yeah. Probably.
And I remember
yeah.
even within here in this area, I remember when I was in grade school and high school too, we got through places through the alleys, yeah. through gangways and alleys. Mm-hmm. That's how we knew.
No, you're right. That's
Chicago,
right.
Chicago, yeah.
In Chicago, yeah. certainly yeah. in Chicago. But I, yeah, I remember.
Should probably like that in New York, too.
No.
No, it's not. No, they have no alleys.
No alleys
in New York.
That's why in New York is such a dirty city.
Garbage wow. cans are there
because
in the front.
Because you're right.
But they have the gangways, right? They go through...
I don't, you know, and maybe in the boroughs, in some of the boroughs, yeah, but in Manhattan,
and I've never been to.
There are no alleys, and so wow. what happens is by early evening, already all the, that's why they got a big rat problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But all still do. All the trash. It's really dirty.
Yeah.
So all the trash is put on the front side on the sidewalk in front of the
buildings.
The buildings.
Even wow. the restaurants.
Everything.
Where yeah. people are eating and the.
And the trash is,
the trash
yeah.
is right there. Yeah. And the yeah. rats are jumping in and out of the
that's,
trash.
That's the nice thing about Chicago is we have alleys. Yes. You know, yeah. So you don't see any of that. That's yeah, why Chicago that's right. is a very, for the most part, a very clean city. The downtown. Really, downtown is just
it's
so beautiful.
Beautiful.
And can you imagine all the building that's going on?
Yeah. Yes.
But they got to get this crime under control.
It is out of control. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, we had an incident here in the parking lot during the night that was... nobody got hurt, but a carjacking, and they brought the car over here and left it. And anyway, it's, you know, I had two police officers. It was really interesting just jumping from here to here from one thing to another. But was it maybe 3 weeks ago, I had finished a Polish mass. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned this on the
you
radio.
Did. Did
I,
yeah. mention right. again because I thought it was cool.
Policeman, yes.
Yeah, and so Julian, the altar head of the altar servers. Mm-hmm. He's really come of age, really matured, and he does a great job with the servers. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, there are two police officers in your chapel waiting to see you.
And you got scared.
Well, I wondered, you know, what
you
happened.
You thought you were in trouble.
You wonder what, you know, like what happened. Yeah. Did something
right.
happen,
sure.
you know? And so I went into
so you
the...
you braced yourself for...
Well, you wonder, you know, it kind of puts yeah. a little bit of fear in you, like, did something bad happen to yeah. somebody yeah. somewhere? But I walked into the chapel and the two young, Jessica and, I was just looking at their names this morning. One's been on the force 3 months, another one 7 years. Anyway, the point is they just wanted, they said, can we give you a hug? And I thanked me, you know, that the doors were open and. Mm-hmm. Asked for a blessing and all that, and just wonderful, wow. wonderful young women. And actually, I'll tell you, at Tyrone's funeral, we had, you know, so
yes,
they had the taps, right?
Yes.
Because he was a Marine. So right. I expected, every time I've seen it, there's always these retired military personnel who do the taps.
Yes.
So they come in there. But these were two young women.
I was surprised to see.
Very, very young.
Very young.
Very
yes.
attractive women, and they did the taps. It was very...
And the whole ritual,
the
flag,
the flag,
the folding
yeah.
of the flag. And,
it was beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
It's, yeah. Anyway, well, I think we should pray. Otherwise,
yes.
we're going to, you know...
Enough reminiscing.
yeah.
yeah.
The alleys, though.
Yeah.
True. Shortcuts. All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us. O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel. May by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And we're in the month of the Sacred Heart, and so I want to end with a litany to the most sacred heart of Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mother,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, substantially united to the Word of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of infinite majesty,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, sacred temple of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, tabernacle of the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, house of God and gate of heaven,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, burning furnace of love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abode of justice and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, full of goodness and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abyss of all virtues,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, most worthy of all praise,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, King and center of all hearts,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom dwells the fullness of divinity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom the Father was well pleased,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of whose fullness we have all received,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, patient and most merciful,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, enriching all who invoke you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, fountain of life and holiness,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, propitiation for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, loaded down with opprobrium,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, bruised for our offenses,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, obedient to death,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, pierced with a lance,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, source of all consolation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our life and resurrection,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our peace and reconciliation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, victim for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, salvation of those who trust in you.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, hope of those who die in you.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, delight of all the saints.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like to yours. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, look upon the heart of your most beloved Son and upon the praises and satisfaction which he offers you in the name of sinners. And to those who implore your mercy and your great goodness, grant forgiveness in the name of the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you forever and ever.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Can't leave him out. St. Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
Can't leave him out either. All angels, all you angels and saints in heaven, pray for us. We need the prayers today more than ever. I truly believe that. So did you catch what I said at the homily for Tyrone, that welcome to everybody, welcome to God's house and the house of Tyrone?
Yes. truly was his house.
It truly was. He was here every day. Going to be missed.
Yes, he will.
What
be
a character,
missed.
Huh?
He was.
Yeah, yeah. Name for everybody.
I forgot about Oscar. I saw him there. He used to call him Oscar.
Oscar Meyer.
Oscar Myers. Tony remembers.
That's right.
And my dad, he would ask, where's Daddy-O?
Oh, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
And what was his name for you?
He just called me Christina.
Christina, yeah.
He didn't get it. Well, not that I know of. I don't know.
Yeah, he wouldn't tell you. He'd tell
others. He wouldn't tell
but
me.
He would always say Christina.
He would say Christina.
He had various names for various people.
Yeah.
So. He did.
Maybe that was his way of remembering names, I think.
I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know.
So anyway, all right. Before we take a break, did you know? So Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
I just learned this past week when I was in Rochester. He's famous for what books?
Huckleberry Finn, right?
Huckleberry Finn. There's another one too. That's real.
Tale of Two. No, that's somebody else.
Tale of Two Cities.
Charles Dickens.
Dickens.
Come on, Christina,
confused.
You gotta know this.
Yeah, Christina's gotta know.
By the way, I have to tell you, somebody said that now that Christina's back on the radio, they listen.
Yeah, so, it's true.
I've heard a lot of people. You're right. Nick's got it right.
Yeah.
But I want you guys to know it. Huckleberry Finn and starts with a T. We'll play hangman here, okay?
Starts with a T. One word, two words?
Mark Twain?
No, it's there's two words.
Okay.
Okay, so Huckleberry Finn.
Huckleberry Finn.
It's a person. Huckleberry
sure.
Finn, and who was his buddy? T.S.
Tony Snow.
No.
Tony Snow. That's a good one, Tony.
Come on, figure it out.
Tim. No.
Tim.
All right.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny
no,
Tim.
No, not Tiny.
Okay, think. All right, so T. All right, think of. You said Tony, no Tony.
No Tony.
Tim, no Tim. Tyrone, no Tyrone.
No Tyrone, definitely no Tyrone.
Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, the Rush. Tom Sawyer.
How could you not know that?
Oh, man, I'm getting old.
But that's way before my time.
Christina, you're supposed to make us look good.
Yeah,
I'm doing Christina a terrible would, job.
You're
Rush's tune, Tom Sawyer.
I told somebody too, and they said they're now that you're on now that you're back on there, they listen to your radio.
Yeah,
I said you know
the ratings went up. No, I'm just kidding.
She's a smarter one here because she's got all the answers.
She
know?
Does.
Because what did you say? Won't you have a photogenic memory?
A photographic.
She said photogenic, but it was photographic.
Well, anyway, so I learned last week his Tom masterpiece, Sawyer. His you'd think his masterpiece would have been Tom Sawyer
no.
or Huckleberry Finn.
There's another one.
Do you know what it is?
I've heard this. I can't think of
his masterpiece, his greatest work.
Mm-hmm.
He spent 12 years investigating this person and took him 2 years it was either 2 years or 4 years to write the book, but he considers it his favorite, and it's his masterpiece. And I never knew it. I never knew it. You know what it is?
I don't know, Father.
And he was an agnostic or an atheist, I think.
Okay.
I think he identified himself maybe as an agnostic. His masterpiece, I have it right here. Because when I heard this, I said, I got it, or this is going to be my summer reading.
Mm-hmm. Joan of Arc?
Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc? No way.
Mark Absolutely. Twain. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see. I did. Yeah.
I did not know
and
that.
And I'm wearing my glasses, Father. Yeah. I can't see.
This is his masterpiece.
Wow.
So I told the students at the eighth grade graduation mm-hmm. that for the summer that their assignment is to read Joan of Arc. Because I also was reading some commentary, and they said, mm-hmm. you read this book, you'll want to be a saint.
Oh.
And so I told the parents at the end of the graduation, I said, okay, now you go home, and you, as a gift to your children, you know, go to Amazon and order Joan of Arc. So I ordered it, and I got it the next day. I was in Rochester, so I ordered it on a Wednesday, and I mm-hmm. came back, and I had it.
You had it.
So I'm going to use this as my summer reading.
Thank
now,
God for Amazon, huh?
I mentioned that also at one of the evening masses, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, I tried to read that book, but it's a very hard read. So, like War and Peace, I don't know.
I'm trying to think if I ever read Tom Sawyer, which I probably didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't. Huckleberry Finn. Did you read Huckleberry Hound?
Yeah.
Those are great books.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, getting back into these classics. I remember when we were in school, we always had to read the assigned something.
That's why I would think you read Tom Sawyer.
No, I don't think I did. There's so many classics that I don't think I read.
So I even asked, at the graduation, I asked the teachers, you know, before I made mention of the book, I said, the same thing, you know, these are our teachers. You know, do you know what his classic, what his masterpiece is?
Did people do better than us?
Nobody could answer
worse.
It.
No,
nobody could answer. But I know I'm looking forward to reading this, Joan of Arc. Because he said he spent 12 years investigating the life of
and
Joan of Arc.
And nobody mentioned that, Father. Even at school, I don't remember them saying that that was his.
And you went to a Catholic school.
And I went to a Catholic school.
So anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and get into something a little bit more serious. Although this would be a serious read, especially today in our time. You know, we need warriors.
Yeah.
Yes,
we need to defend the faith.
Yes,
Faith has to be defended. But I've got the great the words of Saint Boniface. Yesterday was his feast day. I want to go back to the Holy Trinity, talk a little bit about that again. And then end with the words of Saint Boniface, because I'll tell you, he was martyred. He was martyred in Germany in the 8th century. But when you read his words, you just think, wow, boy, do we need to hear that today in our day, in our time. So anyway, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Ann. And don't be, you know, Holy Trinity, because it's too much. You know, it's a mystery that's, you know, very hard to comprehend. But I want to go back and look at this feast that we just had this past Sunday, because I think I have some nice insights into the Holy Trinity in relation to the era in which we're living right now. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750. WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Do you want your family to be safe? Do you want extra special attention given to your prayers by Jesus? Listen, place yourself under the mantle of your mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hold her delicate hand and pray the rosary. When we pray the rosary and let the name Mary tenderly spring from our heart and lips, one can envision with certainty our Lord Jesus seated at the right hand of our merciful Father, suddenly leaning forward with captivated, special love and attention to our soul, to our needs, all our prayers and all our intentions. For when we love Jesus' mother, Mary, we have instantly become part of his special inner circle upon whom he lavishes extraordinary gifts through his Holy Spirit, Mary's spouse. I'm Jim Littleton, forming faithfulfamilies.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. See, I say things and then I forget where I'm going, right? And I said that we're having four languages for Corpus Christi.
Yes.
So we got Spanish, English, Polish. But I'm going to do the Roman canon in Latin.
Nice.
In Latin.
I like the Latin, Father. There's something about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some people will find it hard, but I think we're going to work it out, so it's going to be very.
And we know the mass is the mass.
The mass is the mass, right? Yeah. Right, exactly. My gosh, when you think so, Joan of Arc. I mean, they all heard the mass in Latin.
You know,
that's up until. It was just reading an article.
You're
going
to make me want to read that book now.
What's that?
You're going to make me want to read that
book.
Well,
I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward. This is my summer reading, like I said. But I was a little discouraged when somebody said, you know, they tried to get to it. They couldn't get to it. It was
maybe
very hard.
Maybe sometimes people,
it depends on the space you're in.
You have to, I find myself, I have to force myself to read.
To read.
Because
read, Tony.
I do, but Angelica, well, people will tell you, I buy books, but I don't get to them right away. They just kind of stack up. But then that one moment, and there's a few of them now that I just go back to picking up, and then I completely read.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I'm getting books all the time, and I just don't have the time to read.
Well, Angelica,
no time.
And my nieces and nephews that always make fun of me, go ahead. See, other people do it, too.
Yeah. Would it be as hard as the Thomas Aquinas? Did you ever read, Father? You must have read Thomas Aquinas.
Thomas Aquinas, this and that. I mean, but it's to try to get.
I only read one page, and I'm like, this is not for me.
You have to force yourself.
To try to get to the Summa is. I know the theology
of
Thomas Aquinas. We studied that, but very hard reading.
Yeah, it is. It's very,
very
heavy, very
extremely deep, very extremely. Yeah. In fact, I've got a little book on the Holy Eucharist. It was written by a Bishop Barron. Mm-hmm. I have to give you guys a copy of. Somebody gave me a number of copies, but it's really, really good. But it's heavy.
Yeah.
You have to read it slow and think
deliberate
about what you're reading. But it's really profound. In any case. This isn't heavy, but we had last Sunday we had the feast of the Holy Trinity, and just extrapolating from the three readings, St. Paul. Let's see, the first reading was from the Book of Exodus. The second reading was St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, and then of course the Gospel of John. But St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he encourages Christians to greet one another with a holy kiss. And you recall a few years ago, we were discouraged from such a greeting. No kiss, no handshake. Keep a distance. Remember that? Keep a distance
of
6 feet, one from another. Mm-hmm. Wear a mask. Barriers were erected to keep us apart. When you think about it, the trauma that we all felt at that time, you'd go into a store, and you see all of a sudden you've got these, plastic around the
Perksy plat, whatever.
Around the cashiers, and everything. And
The damage is still done. There are people that still.
They say it's going to be for some time.
They were even showing on the news that now they're giving courses on how to smile, because we had the mask and people are learning how to smile again.
Wow.
That's something.
But think about it. Barriers were erected to keep us apart. All all these measures were taken to keep us healthy and prevent the spread of the virus, but they were and remain contrary to our nature as social human beings. We certainly adhere to the measures enacted because fear of the virus ignited within us this survival instinct. It was not only a concern for our personal survival, but that of others as well. I remember at that time even driving to the Chicago, and the roads were empty. Nobody was out.
It looked like a ghost town.
Yeah, when you think about it.
I only remember that one other time on 9/11 when I came. Right. I went to work, and when I was on the expressway, eerie. There was nobody.
Yeah, there's a certain similarity, isn't there, the aftermath of all that. And I remember, by God's grace, I never missed my appointments in Rochester, but I remember being one of five people on a plane. And then when I got there, everything was closed. Mm-hmm. You couldn't eat in any restaurant. You could order food in a couple of places, but you had it had to be brought out to you, and then you took it to your room. But there was and basically the hotels were empty. It was really, cancer patients that were getting their treatment, but many people didn't go for the hospital themselves were, at least up there, it was like a ghost town as well.
I remember I had all these doctor's appointments, and then the accident that I had, I injured my knees. Everything was canceled.
That's right. That was when
I was stuck at home, Father.
Yeah.
And I stiffened up.
It is interesting, too, because one of the things they were saying, they had to do this because they were afraid that the hospitals would be overrun. But isn't it funny that even regular people that would get their exams, it all stopped. And it became where you didn't want to go to the hospital because you would get maybe, God forbid, something worse. So people would stay away from the hospital.
Yeah, we couldn't.
It is interesting now.
We couldn't even have funerals.
Yeah,
we couldn't do it. You know, everything was. I remember, I would go to a kind of like a wake,
And that was.
They wouldn't bring the bodies to the church, but we were even describing. Can you imagine? When you think about that, but I remember they would only allow 10 people in the funeral home, and you had to keep that distance.
That distance. Yeah.
At the cemetery, everybody had to stay far apart. Oh. I remember some of those. Funerals where you had people it was surreal.
It was surreal. My uncle, my dad's oldest brother, he died of COVID. He was 93 in a nursing home. So then, like you said, Father, 10 people in the funeral home. So we had to figure out, because it's a big family.
Right.
Who was going to represent from each family, the siblings, to be in the funeral home. And then they brought the body out into the parking lot. So the rest of us, because we were in our cars.
In your car? Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Remember?
And we saw him, and I took pictures. We were far away. And then the same in the cemetery. Everybody was like...
Did they open the casket on the
outside? They opened the casket for us. But you had
to stay in your cars.
But we had to... Especially my mom and I, because we have underlying chronic illnesses. Yeah. So we were being extra careful. Wow. But that was just surreal.
It was. And yet they kept... strip joints open and
liquor stores.
Yeah. Think about it. The churches had to be shuttered, but
wow. Yeah.
Anyway, we recoiled at the thought of the isolation so often associated with the pandemic, and rightfully so, because we're not meant to be alone. So when the church celebrated the feast of the Solemnity of the Holy Trinity. We were reminded that we are social beings, because God who set life into motion, is a social being. God is a communion of three persons, distinct but one. We are monotheistic, meaning we believe in one God, not three gods or a multiplicity of gods. This communion of three persons in one God is the glue that holds all creation and all humanity together. The pandemic and many other issues erupting in society in our personal lives leaves us feeling vulnerable and lacking control. This is so prevalent today in the society. People feel that their freedoms are being disrupted in a wide variety of ways. Mm-hmm. If we humble ourselves, we find that God seizes the opportunity to bestow grace, because true to his nature, he shows himself as calm in the storm, the balm of Gilead, using a biblical reference, a soothing ointment to alleviate the pain. But, and this is the big but, we have to open ourselves to this grace. God, in his supreme wisdom, he'll use a crisis to restore us, or restore in us, holy communion with the Creator, the Redeemer, and Sanctifier, that is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Without God, there is no survival. The rejection of God eventually ends in self-imposed condemnation. And that's the trajectory of the time in which we're living. Often in adversity and strife, we return to the source of life. We reach for God, who we may have forgotten or from whom we've kept ourselves distant. He comes to us as he came to Moses from the first reading on Sunday, proclaiming his name, Lord, and identifying himself as merciful, gracious, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. And we would do well to respond as Moses did. We've got to be in the breach. Moses bowed down to the ground in worship and humbly asked the Lord. And this is really what we do at Mass. He says, and I quote, "If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive your own." I mean, I am convinced the why of the chaplet of the Divine Mercy in our day and our time, because it's an extension of the holy sacrifice of the Mass and our communion with God in the Holy Mass, but that we in a perpetual way continue to acknowledge before the Father that we acknowledge his love, that he sent his only begotten Son not to condemn but to save us. And so we intercede for a stiff-necked people. As he says, this is indeed a stiff-necked people, yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive your own. I mean, we'd be hard-pressed to deny that we are stiff-necked and in need of pardon from our wickedness and sins. Every day we follow the news and are disheartened by the immorality, the violence, the bigotries, the hatreds, stoking racism, selfishness, and greed that disrupt our communion as members of the human race. In a paradoxical way, awakening to the pandemic of loneliness prevalent today. I'm reading article after article on this pandemic, if you want to call it, an epidemic of loneliness. Maybe this has the benefit of bringing people to return to the Father who so loved the world that he gave his only Son not to condemn but to save the world. Well, the Holy Spirit emanating from the Father and the Son can restore our lives into the life of our society, civility, because civility is what defines the triune God. To refuse God further deteriorates the civility of our society and brings us to the abyss of savagery, man's inhumanity to man. From the downward spiral into the abyss of human degradation, the question is, do we have the humility to reach our hand into the hand of God and be pulled out of isolation, away from loneliness, anger, and fear, to be restored to right relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves? You know, so St. Paul calls us to greet one another with a holy kiss. Wouldn't it be nice? And if you can imagine that there was a day when there was this traditional salutation, people would, this is way before my time, before our time, but people would, Christians would greet each other. You know, praise be Jesus Christ, and the response to the greeting, now and forever, amen. You know, and in Italy, they still often have the greeting salve. Well, that's kind of from the Roman Empire, right? Hail, H-A-I-L, hail, salve. I don't know why, they're not a religious, I'm thinking of the Ave Maria, right? Hail Mary.
Yes.
Greetings.
In Africa, they still greet each other with, it has to do with God, or praise be Jesus, something like
that. Do they?
That.
Yeah,
they still do.
Because they do
Africa.
That in all the cultures. Like in Spanish, what do they say? There's a greeting as well. In Polish as well.
There is?
Yeah. And for the life of me right now, I can't recall it. But anyway, physical health and wealth are good things, but spiritual health and salvation and the salvation of a soul are even better. And to this end, we have to mend our ways, encourage one another, and live in the peace of the Holy Trinity. We're going to take a break, and then I want to conclude with this: these words of Saint Boniface, who was martyred in the eighth century, I think it was, in Germany. He was from England, but he went to evangelize, to bring conversion to the pagans in Germany, and he was pretty successful, but he was also martyred. So we'll be right back, and you'll be amazed as you listen to his words and, you know, think about what he writes in the context of the time in which we're living right now. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Pope John Paul II once said, humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him. I am Father Thomas Loyatt with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change with Tony and Nick. TNTNC.
TNTNC. I like that.
Tick. Tick.
Tick.
Tick. You can tell I'm tired.
Yeah. Tick. TNTNC.
Tony, Nick, Tony, and Christina. Let me not. I got to read this because this is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I find a great consolation in these words of St. Boniface, who was martyred in the 8th century, in actually 754 in Germany, for having evangelized. He was a bishop. But listen to what he says and just think about our day and our time. He writes, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. The ancient father showed us how we should carry out this duty. Clement, Cornelius, and many others in the city of Rome, Cyprian at Carthage, Athanasius at Alexandria, they all lived under emperors who were pagans. They all steered Christ's ship, or rather his most dear spouse, the church. This they did by teaching and defending her, by their labors and sufferings, even to the shedding of blood. I am terrified when I think of all this. Fear and trembling come upon me, and the darkness of my sins almost covered me. I would gladly give up the task of guiding the church, which I have accepted, if I could find such an action warranted by the example of the fathers or by Holy Scripture. Since this is the case, and since the truth can be assaulted but never defeated or falsified, with our tired mind, let us turn to the words of Solomon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own prudence. Think of him in all your ways, and he will guide your steps. In another place he says, the name of the Lord is an impregnable tower. The just man seeks refuge in it, and he will be saved. Let us stand fast in what is right and prepare our souls for trial. Let us wait upon God's strengthening aid and say to him, O Lord, you have been our refuge in all generations. Let us trust in him who has placed this burden upon us. What we ourselves cannot bear, let us bear with the help of Christ. For he is all-powerful, and he tells us, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us continue the fight on the day of the Lord. The days of anguish and of tribulation have overtaken us. If God so wills, let us die for the holy laws of our fathers, so that we may deserve to obtain an eternal inheritance with them. And let us, just listen to this, it's just so powerful. Let us be neither dogs that do not bark, nor silent onlookers, nor paid servants who run away before the wolf. Instead, let us be careful shepherds, watching over Christ's flock. Let us preach the whole of God's plan to the powerful and to the humble, to rich and to poor, to men of every rank and age, as far as God gives us the strength, in season and out of season, as St. Gregory writes in his book of pastoral instruction. Also, this is what St. Paul said, right? St. Paul wrote as well, in season, out of season, when convenient, when inconvenient, we've got to stay the course. St. Paul also said that, to the priests when he left Ephesus, I'm leaving you with a clean conscience because I didn't withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you need to know that the wolves are coming. They're coming from without, and they're going to come from within. And so that is a reality, and it has to be acknowledged. But that's very powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, very powerful, yeah. Father.
This I love the realism. Again, it reflects the gospel. More and more I think about this and I speak about this, but, you know, the world will deceive us. A world that doesn't acknowledge God will deceive us. We're being deceived right and left by this all these different ideologies that are just being indoctrinated into the lives of our children, things, and I'm not going to go out into you. Everybody knows, you know. Mm-hmm. But the world will deceive us. The flesh, the free reign of the flesh, will deceive us. The devil will deceive us. God never deceived us. And even St. Boniface in his writing, he speaks of that. He says, just, you know, let us stand fast in what is right and prepare our souls for trial. Or what did he say? That the days of anguish and of tribulation have overtaken us. In other words, it's kind of like the cosmic upheaval is upon us. But what we do, we stay the course. Because as this is really quite a challenge in our day and our time, when everything seems to be up for grabs, you know, with regards to the it's amazing to me, you know, when we hear, you know, we got to be open to the surprise of the Spirit. I mean, the Spirit has been ever alive, you know, ever active in the life of the church, and this constant chiding against rigidity when it comes to dogma and doctrine that we hear from the highest places of the church, it's ludicrous, because those dogmas and doctrines, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the glue that keeps us together, keeps us grounded. And in this crazy world we're living in right now, when we need clarity, as St. Boniface says, and that we should heed this, let us be neither dogs that do not bark, nor silent onlookers, nor paid servants who run away before the wolf. I always say, you know, we can't be on the sidelines. We've got to get into the drama, into this sacred story, and we've got to be defenders of the faith. So I'm looking forward to reading this Joan of Arc, you know, who defended the faith. No timidity. I was reading today. You know, got to be gentlemen. But not timid. There's got to be passion. We've got to be infused with the Spirit of God, and we've got to defend powerfully our faith. It doesn't mean, you know, we're always talking in a soft tone, but we've got to, you know, there's got to be a sense that we're convicted, right? That we're convicted in Christ, and we're members of His mystical body. As St. Boniface said, we don't run away. We don't run away. Where did he say that? As we come to the end, our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on her course. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on her course. The church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. And so it is. So we keep the course. We keep the faith. We defend the faith unapologetically. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that.